Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Advice from a Dipshit with Matt Bronger. With me as always, the amazing Amanda oils all the gears and turns all the screws and makes things happen for the show. Today I have Justin Willman on, who is an amazing magician. You might have seen his show, Magic for Humans, on Netflix. Justin, welcome to the show. I wouldn't describe you as a dipshit. Like when I do this show, I get people who write me and go, "Hey, you're not so much of a dipshit." And A, I am, but B, I'm also saying like we all are. We all have dipshittery.
Yeah, I would totally describe myself as a dipshit.
Really?
And if we got to know each other well enough,
yes,
I hope that you would too.
Fair.
You know?
I hope we can approach that level of friendship.
You're seeing the polished dipshit part,
yes.
The, you know. But well, you know, give me 90 minutes, and luckily I would say though,
like, not that I'm an expert. I do watch a lot of magic, or as much as I can. I do really enjoy the art form. I don't think you can be much of a dipshit and a great magician at the same time, would be my thing.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know?
You mean because if you're a dipshit magician, you just kind of like, you know, we see how everything works, and therefore
yeah,
you're kind of...
Well, that and, you know, it's funny you just described exactly what I was thinking of. I used to do a show, you know, when you're starting out as a comedian, you kind of would throw your own shows and host, and
yep.
That's how you work out,
yep.
That you get your own stage time. And I did that in Chicago starting out, and there was a guy whose brother was a magician who was always bother me, like, you got to let him go up. And I'm like, but it's a comedy show. Like, is he funny magician? He's like, no, he just does straight up magic. And I was like, all right. Like, I was just like, fine. It's just a bar. Who cares? I'm like, yeah, let's, we have a magician. And he went up, and I'm not joking when I say every trick he did, he fucked up. Every trick. Every trick, he revealed what it was. Like the staff out of the backpack, and you could see where it bent, where
yep.
It was actually a piece of plastic. It wasn't wood. Things like that. Every to the point where people are laughing, and I felt so bad for him, but they're laughing because they think it's a bit.
Right. And you're like, you know, maybe he actually... is a comedy magician.
Like, to this day, was this like an Andy Kaufman-esque magician comedian? I don't know. But yeah, it's because it takes so much practice, because it takes so much presence and so much confidence in the moment and in and of yourself. You know, it's kind of hard. I guess the point is you can't really be a dipshit on stage.
That's exactly what I was saying.
Okay.
That for some reason, a lot of magicians, and maybe Amanda, you know, a lot of magicians are really good at hiding their dipshitness when they're performing, when they're on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then all of the the personal life is just dipshitted up. And comedians maybe are in touch with, just using that dipshitness on stage, using it as vulnerability.
Yeah,
and I'm being a human
yeah.
being and I can relate to you.
Mm-hmm.
Magicians have to have a very polished veneer.
Yeah. That's
magicians are
true.
Like, you know, you're like the Hindenburg, basically. It's a great blimp until there's a pinhole. And then it just comes down.
And it, but I hope there isn't as much of what example I always use is Evel Knievel, how people would watch Evel Knievel. And, you know, probably if they were honest, at least half the crowd is like, ooh, I hope he crashes. You
yeah,
know, like it's
yeah.
that thing of just, they just want to see him. And when he lands, it's like, yay.
Right.
But, okay. You know, because we do have that dark side to us. I don't think... the same thing goes for magic at
no.
all. I think more often than not, people are, you know, you just get sad if someone's trick doesn't work. That's why so many magicians kind of do the bait and switch.
Right.
We're like, oh, I fucked it up.
There's nothing worse than
a magician
in
trouble.
You know, you go to the magic castle, and a lot of times there's, you know, world class, the best in the world. But sometimes you'll see some that are just a little less polished, and you just get this sweaty palms cringiness in the audience because
yes.
you just... You want the person to walk out and make you feel like, listen, I got this covered. Relax. Have
right.
another drink. Enjoy.
Yeah,
don't worry
yeah,
about me.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
a lot of times you're like, oh, God. Oh, gosh, I want to help him out, you know? And there's just, you know, and when you see how a trick works when you're not supposed to, it's like just your dick flopping out.
Yep. Yep.
You can't really recover like a joke bombing.
Right. Yeah.
You can move on.
Mm-hmm.
Not with a trick
yeah.
exposed.
And it's funny, but if you do have, like if you do have a couple good dingers and but you have one joke that just eats its own dick, you basically let your next joke, even if it's super good, is kind of like, it's still tainted a little.
I think
it's probably the same thing with doing a trick where like one just didn't work and then, okay, let's get back on the horse.
Exactly.
You kind of like, oh, well.
You got to earn my trust back
mm-hmm.
a little bit.
You kind of have to be a master of ceremonies.
Yeah.
For a second,
the audience is like, maybe, I don't know if he actually has powers.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might be lying to us. Isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why comedy magicians exist in that.
Right.
Win or lose... it's supposed to happen.
Hopefully. Yeah, and but it there is such a big thing to banter. I feel like you have that, where you can kind of find a rapport with an audience, or just like in your show, a one-on-one with someone on the street.
Or the ability just to jazz and make it look, you know, just kind of cover that thing up. And
that
really wasn't where this was heading. It was going somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And when you're a straight-up magician, I hope that guy's business card that you described just says straight-up magician, because it's pretty baller.
Yeah.
But you got to be... I mean, David Blaine's a straight-up magician,
yes.
for example.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he's earned it.
Yeah.
It's hard to be that.
For sure. I just think of that as such a lonely existence, if you're just such a serious person all the time. I mean, just because that's just not my personality at all.
Matt Bronger, straight-up comedian.
It's pretty much true. It's pretty much true.
Has a different meaning to it.
They're not casting the next hour drama about the Irish potato famine on Netflix and thinking of me for the lead. Not at all. Not at all. No. Yeah, jokes are my thing. So you want to hear some calls?
I'm so excited. By the way, I saw you at the bumper shoot back in Seattle. I was on the bill doing a theater, and my girlfriend at the time came to see you.
Oh, cool.
And you had your long baby line.
Sure.
And she and I quoted that for a long time.
That's awesome. That's cool.
It really, it's just, you know, those little things that become quotable in a relationship.
Man. Yeah. Oh, thanks.
It was really, really great.
When
I discovered you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's such a fun festival, but you're in a theater and they still have the stage directions from whatever play is going on. So I remember it was like the seaboards of like a boardwalk, and there was sand all over the stage, and like every comedian that came out made fun of it.
Yeah.
But it was also just like, we can't have our own anything, you know? But it's funny. That's so rad that you saw that. Okay, so I told you a little bit, basically, we're going to play these calls. I have not heard them. You have not heard them. So let's try to dole out some dipshit advice here. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Matt. My name's Craig. I'm a 22-year-old guy about to juggle work in college. I worked a graveyard shift, and it's a dead-end job. I was just wondering, is college really worth the trouble? I'm leaning towards to be a psychologist if I do choose to go through college. I don't know. Give me your thoughts on the matter. What are your opinions? All right. That's all.
You know, I don't know your background or history very much. Why don't you take this one?
Okay.
Does college really matter?
First off, I love that he says I'm working the graveyard shift on a dead end job.
Yeah, that's a Springsteen song. Right,
double punning it up there for us. Well, I'd say if you do want to become a psychologist, I think absolutely legally, college is an important part of that career path.
Yeah,
and I would love to know that if he doesn't do college, what his goal is. But this is coming from a magician, someone who. College is definitely not a prerequisite. College for me was the best thing that I ever did. I went to Emerson College in Boston.
Oh yeah, nice.
And you know, I studied broadcast journalism. And yeah, you know, you learn what you learn. And I've never had to whip out my degree as proof for anything. But the relationships I made while in college, because it was kind of a artsy fartsy school with a lot of creative types, and Dan Levy became one of my best friends, stand-up comedian, and Daniel Kino, and just the people who, like, I'm still best friends with a group of about 20 or 25 guys and gals, pardon me as I clear my throat, who I met at Emerson, and that was priceless.
Nice.
Priceless. Excuse me, getting over a little thing.
It's okay.
So I would say, I mean, now I know a lot of people who, you know, can start their career path if it's not a college kind of thing that you need to do right away. And for them, college is kind of it's a roadblock, you know. If you can just hop right into it, might as well do it. So for me, like, if I had to go back in time and if my parents weren't like, Justin, we really want you to get a college degree. Mm-hmm. Foolish me probably would have said, well, fine, I'm not going to go to college. I'm going to go right into being a magician.
Right.
But looking back now, knowing what I know and knowing how important all that stuff was, like, it really was, it was vital. And college is expensive, and there's like the financial strain that might become a, you know, ball and chain for a long time. So that, you know, I don't know how his financial picture is in that realm, but if college is an option, I would say go for it. At least try it out for a bit. You don't have to graduate. If it's not for you.
Yeah, I would agree. And you bring up a really good point. And something I never really thought about in terms of my life is that, like, my parents always, they're both educators, but they always said, you know, if you don't want to go to college, don't go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as my mom is like, an education is very important, she always sided with athletes who wanted to go pro at 18 if they wanted to. She's like, if you don't want to go to college, don't go to college. It's all about free will. If you don't want to go, why the fuck are you going? And with me though, I was so lost. I didn't know what I still in my 40s now feel so lost and feel so mentally young in terms of making certain decisions and in terms of having any kind of perspective that even like back then I was complete, just a mess in terms of anything I had to go for in terms of direction. So college is a good 4 years of you to discover who you are, start building toward what you want to be, and also forge friendships in adulthood. Outside of places like bars or workplaces where you're all there and you're all there for a reason, that's for development, which is what education is. So I would definitely say, yay college. And the financial thing, well, first, if you want to be a psychologist, you have no fucking choice. You got to go to college, A. And B, just look into financial aid and look into maybe not going to the most expensive school. Look into state schools, look into city colleges, things like that. And just bust your ass to get really good grades, and then that'll get you into whatever the grad school of your choice, knock on wood. So that'd be my advice.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, going to college to be a psychologist, college is not going to be like an artsy-fartsy, laid-back ride like it was, you know, maybe for me. But I'd say, yeah, give it a year at least. See what it's like, see what it feels like, learn about what it would mean to be a psychologist and all that would entail. And it gives you a safety net to fail, by the way, too. Like I did my second semester of my senior year in LA. Emerson has an internship program, which let me like with a guaranteed place to live for 3 months without having to sign a lease or anything, come out here and figure out this was the city for me. And so many people don't have that opportunity and move out here blind and have no friends. And they're like, I have a lease, I have no money. So college affords you all that freedom.
It helps you avoid the experience of living the Guns N' Roses song, Welcome to the Jungle, when you get here. Because it's... you are prey the moment you get off that bus. Good luck to you, man, and hope it works out. And also, dead-end job, graveyard shift, just don't beat your head against the wall. You're so young and so dramatic. Things will get better, and I know it seems like the hardest thing right now, but I will say this. My uncle used to make my cousin do stuff like lay asphalt with a construction company when he was 22, 21. And he would come back with these horror stories and my uncle would be like, oh, that's what that age is for. Like, you're supposed to work like that because you're resilient. And so it's like, look at it that way. You're going through hell right now so you can have a bit more of heaven later when your body won't really be up to working jobs like that. When you're young, take heart in the fact that this this will give you a little more spine, a little more gumption as time goes by. So.
And we need more psychologists.
Yeah.
People are always going to be a little sick in the head.
Absolutely.
Comedians are always going to need someone to vent to.
Without question.
Help
and you'll
us out.
Probably smoke a lot of good weed. If anybody who has taken any kind of philosophy or psychology classes.
Oh, yeah.
Usually.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
They just smoke so much boom. Okay.
Boom.
Yeah.
I have never heard that reference at all.
Is that
did
like smoking
just,
loud?
Did you
it's
just
weed.
Make that up?
No.
No, that's a term.
No,
boom,
that's from like Cypress Hill had that album, Temples of Boom.
Oh.
Boom is just an expression for weed.
Oh, no way. Wow. I love it. I might own that now.
Take it. It's not, I didn't make it up.
Can I just say, I had like a really funny shit job in college. I was hired by Disney in Orlando because they were going to be building a resort out and I was going to Hawaii. And while I was out there taking courses or whatever, I was a custodian at the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, wow.
I was like 21, 22 years old.
Yeah.
Like doing trash in bathrooms.
And then going to school. We were like spiking it, like spiking trash?
Yeah. Nice. And like, yeah. And so I have like epic horror bathroom stories. Yo. But like here I am getting like a very prestigious education like in tandem.
Yeah.
It sort of had to be what it was, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've said this on stage where if you have never worked a shit job ever, your opinion is worthless.
Yeah.
You know, anyone who says, because it's like if you've lived off an inheritance your entire life and you're like, you ever say anything about like, well, this is how life should be. It's like, you don't know. You haven't been ground under someone's shoe. You haven't been yelled at by someone because, you know, the food you brought out came out 5 minutes later than they thought it would come. Or, you know, if you've never worked directly with the public, you know,
right.
I just feel like good.
Yeah, doing bathrooms.
There you go.
You know, else all the bathrooms in Disney have their own soundtrack, and I would like sing them off of work. Like the soundtrack would get stuck in your head.
Yeah,
you'll be like, oh, what's that song? That's weird. Oh, yeah, that's The Bathroom by Cinderella's Castle.
And you know it, you have it mapped in your head, like a bat. You could sonically map.
Yeah. Weird.
There's a composer somewhere who's like,
yeah. Yes.
At a dinner party, what have you written? Anything I've heard? Well, have you
been to the bathroom?
Shit at the Magic Kingdom?
Because
you may have heard.
I just want to show you this. I'm going to show you this check that I just received. I get one a week
for residuals. My third movement.
From that bathroom. Yeah.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was an ice cream man, and he said, you know, you can play the entertainer, and you can play anything but Pop Goes the Weasel, because Pop Goes the Weasel is the shortest melody, and you'll slowly go insane. You have to have it playing. Okay. You have to pick a song.
Don't you find later in life that, like, you really draw upon those experiences of those shit jobs, those things, because those are your ways just to relate to people, you know?
No matter how bad a gig is, I'm like, well, you know, at least I'm not blank. You know, at least I'm not doing this job or that job. Mm-hmm. They're great for perspective, if nothing else.
Even more important than college, perhaps.
Yeah.
Is having a shit job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
That.
All right.
All right, Matt. My name's Tony. I'm in college. And I've been seeing this girl for like 2 months, probably about. And I really liked her, and I knew she really liked me too. And the only thing was, we got in some fights, and that caused my friends, kind of, to pressure me to end things with her, which I did. And it's been like a week or two now, and I'm just kind of regretting it. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like I should have made the decision myself. And I don't know if it's too late now. So I'm just wondering, what do you think, maybe?
Tony.
Tone. Go ahead.
Tony Tone.
Yeah.
Well, that's tough because, you know, there are reasons to break up after a short while. There are red flags or things that, you know, that are, you know, reasons to jump ship before you let your heart fall deeper in love with someone and make it much more difficult. But yeah, when your friends' opinions are involved, that's a whole different thing because your friends are only getting your side of the story.
Absolutely.
They're not hearing about the shitty things you did most of the time. Yeah. You're kind of making her sound really bad so that, you know, they kind of make you feel like less of a dipshit. Man, it's been a couple weeks. I would say, I mean, the hard part is that if you're going to reach out and kind of rekindle things and then be like, oh, my friends are right. I do kind of want to break up. And then you're a double dick.
Right.
Because you're reinvigorating it, and then you're breaking her heart again. So it's tough without knowing maybe what brought this about.
Just be sure you really want to get back together with her before you open that door, because I doubt you'll get the door opened again. And also, I mean, I've been in that situation where I've been mistreated by someone, and it sadly, you kind of have to choose pride over love. And that's an impossible thing because it's just like, but I love this person. It's like, yeah, but they don't love you. Huh. Yeah, but I'm going to keep telling her how I feel and keep, you know, so it's like maybe your friends were like, stand up for yourself. She walks on you. You know, you're infatuated with her, but she doesn't treat you well. So, you know, like so many of the calls we get, all these boxes are left unchecked.
Right.
So we don't know. We're filling in the blanks ourselves. You know, he didn't say, should I get back together with my girlfriend? I broke up with her. Bye. Huh. It sounds like he still has feelings for her. And I think if you really want to get back together with her, it won't hurt to tell her, because then 20 years from now, you won't go, oh, I should have at least told her. Because you'll probably tell her and she'll be like, no, you already broke up with me. You don't get a second chance. That's a good chance that's going to happen. But if you really want to rekindle it, I mean, I always say, why not try? You know?
Yeah, I'm the kind of guy, like, when I've been in a long-term, I'm a serial monogamist, so when I've been in long-term relationships and I end up breaking up, like, because you know, I know it's the right, it's just not, you know, it's the time and it's just not the right relationship, and I always regret it.
Yeah.
Even when it's the right thing to do. So
right.
It's tough without knowing context.
Yes.
Like, I always, my friends will have to say, don't call her.
Uh-huh.
Do not, you're going to be a dick if you call her, you know? And then, like, do not keep hooking up. Like, all those things are,
yeah.
That's good advice from friends.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something to say that, you know, if it's just been 2 months And if you kind of get that little nagging thing in your gut, like it is something worth listening to, and it might be worth reaching out in a very honest, authentic way. Be right. Like, you know, maybe we rushed into breaking things off and I just don't feel good about how it ended. Do you want to get coffee or something? Like baby step back into it, as opposed to showing up outside her door with a boombox, professing love.
Yeah.
You know, hey, yeah. We're doing
do
it.
Not,
that, and then you change your mind. That's
that,
bad.
That old article in The Onion about a man arrested for attempting a romantic comedy movie moves or something like that. Yeah, he's like hanging outside her office window, banging on the glass, and you know, just like stuff that in the movie be like, oh my God, what a bold choice. Stuff that no woman would actually go for. Yeah, I mean, you talk to her like a human being and you know, figure out where it went wrong. I would maybe hold back on, oh, my friends told me to, but that can be included in conversations if it starts to go better. And you can be like, well, I let myself be led along by certain factions, and I'm sure parts of that are even just in your own brain, where you're kind of like, I looked at it the wrong way. Because we all have had that, we all have that urge to use the smart bomb, to use the nuclear option, to be like, it's over, it's everything's not perfect, I'm done. I'm just going to keep running away and running away and running away from every relationship until all the pieces fit, and this is my soulmate, and Jesus Christ himself comes down off a magical cloud and points at her and says, yes, that's her. That's the one. You guys should totally bone on the lawn and live together forever. You know, so it's, you know, that you're never going to get anything that's perfect. And I feel like this guy's heart is talking to him and being like, look, you screwed up, man.
I'd say the big lesson here would be, you know, I'm a consensus kind of guy. I love getting people who know me, get their opinion. But then you got to step back and you got to make sure whatever you do is that you own it 100%. You can't do anything that you can't throw your friends under the bus here.
No.
You know, you can't go back to her like you say and say, oh man, my friends talk to me. Because that just, you need to keep that part quiet and you need to learn from yourself. Like,
yes.
No one wants to know that you're also a puppet for your friends.
Right.
But you got to, whatever decision you make in life, whether you know, you got to own it 100%. Uh-huh. So sometimes maybe take a beat. Don't rush into it. Don't break things off if you feel like you're being talked into something.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't start with going, hey, you want to get back together? But I'd start with going, you want to get a cup of coffee? Which, cup of coffee is not necessarily a date. It's a meeting, you know? That's why I feel like most people, from what I've heard on Tinder, when someone's like, want to get coffee? They're like, no, I want to go on a date. Right. Or I don't.
No, it's date zero.
Is that it?
Date zero. Oh, that's why you do one. It. And then if they can get past that hour, then it's date one.
Okay.
That's 100% what I do.
Okay. Well, the phone that I use that my wife doesn't know I have, that I swipe right on literally anyone.
No, like, date zero.
Why don't we meet behind
great.
The train station? And then they never respond.
Yeah. I started doing date zero after I had a date where the guy, I don't know, we're like 20 minutes in and he's like, I'm really feeling a connection right now, which BS I wasn't. Hey. And then he was like, I really feel like I could tell you something. I was like, okay, what? He was like, what's the deal with music?
Wow.
And I went, oh, what do you mean? Like, what don't I? He's like, nah, like, I don't really listen to it. It doesn't really do anything for me. I don't really get, like, all those moods and that vibe. And then I just sat there. I put, like, $20 on the table. And I'm like, thank you so much. But, like, food hadn't even come out. Like, I was like, after the guy who, like, didn't understand the deal with music. What's the deal with music?
Wow.
What's the deal with music? Yeah. Seinfeld's worst
bit. Even a bad Seinfeld premise.
Now, you think on a coffee date zero, he would have dropped that bomb on you?
Well, but it would have been just a coffee date.
But yeah, then it would have been just coffee.
Oh, and it would have been fantastic.
There was $4, and then I leave, and I'm like, peace out. Like,
and at a Starbucks, there's music playing. So hopefully, if you're going to be annoyed by music, it comes up.
I had a couple people over for Halloween to like give out candy, you know, just sitting around watching scary movies. And my friend Brady, like, we hear the theme from Law and Order just blaring as the door opens, and we're like, what's happening? And he just and Brady's like taller than me and bigger. He's a huge guy. And he just comes around the corner in this suit, and he has like a Bluetooth speaker in his jacket that's blaring Law and Order. I'm like, that's your costume. So it's like the
He's
beauty
Dick
of
Wolf.
Music is that it'll be, just walking around my house like he's casing the joint. It was so stupid,
so good.
But it made me laugh so hard because I'm dressed as Jason. Mm-hmm. My friend's dressed as John Wick with a bloody pencil. And like, I guess the long point I'm making here is like, music is kind of everything. Because it's just hearing that song made me laugh. It was such a dumb costume. but it's like, yeah, I couldn't relate less to that man, and I get it.
Yeah. I think that's a great friend. Comes in and cases the place.
Yeah.
So cool. That so is so stupid. Cool. And then if you're at Disneyland, you need help pooping, you know?
Yes, exactly. When you're listening to A Whole New World.
Yeah.
What's the deal with music?
Well, it's amazing.
I really feel like we're
good. Look that he said, by the way, can I tell you something? As opposed to, can I ask you a question?
Yeah. You know what I think sucks? A mother's love. What? I just don't get it. What's the point?
Mm. Yeah. No.
Hey, Matt. I'm just wondering if you could weigh in on a debate / discussion my friends and I have had for the past 2 years.
Wow.
And I haven't gone through every episode in your podcast yet, so I'm sorry if this topic's been covered. But what's like the healthiest, most clean way to, you know, like take a shit? you know, there's the age-old debate of like back to front, front to back. But me and my buddies were talking. One guy like stands up, and like another guy, like he waits as long as he can so that gravity can like do the most work. What? One guy just pushes as hard as he can, and we just think that is like
that's
really bad, like with hernias and stuff.
Yeah. But,
yeah, we've been going around in circles for like a few years now, and we just would like the most kind of, I don't know, like how do you do it? You know, it's just, what's the strategy here? Anyway, I'd love to hear a response.
You guys are just a bunch of scat freaks.
It should be a video podcast. Yes.
All I can say is file this under fucking dudes. Dudes, just a bunch of guys. How do you crap, man? I don't know. How do you do it? Well, the cleanest? I feel like just let nature take its course. Let it fall out and then wipe what's left and don't use too much paper. Justin, any?
I mean, it is, I will say, in the past couple years of my adulthood, I have pondered this. You know, you kind of just do it for forever because mm-hmm. then you do it the same way. And then, you know, for me, I think I was maybe 32 or something. And I'm like, posture does change things. And then this whole squatty potty thing I keep hearing about. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think I needed to buy this device. I, with no mime training, have sometimes been able to do an air squatty potty where you just kind of end up just...
Yeah, but you're in fantastic shape. I feel like you have strong abs.
Or sometimes if you have a bathtub in front of you, you can kind of fake it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe some stacks of books. And that really is enjoyable.
Yeah.
I've found, though, the wiping pad, like, you know, what's the standard way? You're trained to go from front to back,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
And I have since switched. I've gone now
really?
Back to front.
Interesting.
Well, that's a guy thing.
Yeah. Now I know, you know, women, it's a whole different, well, there are many concerns.
We have a flesh bag to we know do. When to stop.
The perineum is our, that area, right? Yeah. That little perineum patch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Women but, just have a taint.
But you can go from, I find going from back to front and then with the next tissue paper, then going front to back.
Interesting.
And it's kind of like you're kind of getting it from both angles, almost creating like to a point, if you will. Hopefully there isn't anything left, but if there was.
That's great.
And therefore it kind of evens it out. I find that to be my way to go. And if you do have baby wipes, that's a glorious thing.
Life changing.
I mean, you don't wipe down the counter with a dry towel.
It's true.
This is true.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
So in that case, you would do... I mean, depending on, you know, the type of deposit you've made, you could do baby wipe first and then dry it up with a white one. Sometimes, though, if it's already a wet deposit, you want to dry wipe it first, then baby wipe it, and then dry wipe it.
Right.
Or if your mind really wants to be blown, if you've ever experienced a Toto washlet toilet.
Oh, yes.
Like they have in Japan.
Yeah, those Japanese toilets. Don't
no
get my wife
required.
Started.
No paper required.
Yeah, they're pretty
those
incredible.
Those are the greatest things ever.
Yeah, they're... Take care of all your business. Yeah, I'm pretty much front to back. Comedian Steve Agee has a bit about hearing about a guy who wipes back to front, and he just does a thing where he doesn't stop. And so he's still wiping up he's dragging it along his stomach and chest. Uh-huh. And it's so gross. So that's what made me think of back. But I love that you had such an informed and actualized answer for
it's one of these things that we, you know, you Matt, I don't often get a chance to voice this type of
that's what this podcast this knowledge. Is for, man.
And I think we're all seekers. Mm-hmm. We're all searching yes. for something more, a cleaner way of living.
Absolutely.
If you will. Yeah. And it's something we do all the time. There is, now, I would love your thoughts on this. You know how when you really got to go and you can't, you kind of, right, you know, you're right. just holding it. And hold then it. The urge goes away.
Yeah.
And then you see a bathroom and you're like, oh, well, it's...
I've already
it's
made
it's not going to be, I can't.
I've made a rock inside me.
Right.
Now.
I've already hit
leaving.
Snooze for an hour.
Right.
It's, I shouldn't. But then if you're like, oh, I'm going to try to go, it's so disappointing when
yeah.
you do it then.
Oh, yeah.
You mess with your body that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's well, it you know, like my wife literally has a wooden squatty potty. Like she loves them so much. Mm. Like we got it as a present. Rob Hubel gave us our very first one. I think we got it at like one of those. White elephant parties. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't technically to us, but and he was just like, he kept going on and on about how great it is. But I'm too tall. So like, I put my feet up on it and my knees are next to my ears. And I'm just like, this sucks. I hate this. You know,
is a regular toilet height too short for you too?
No, my toilet is kind of low. I need to get a new toilet. Mm. But
you can get a booster seat. Like they have toilet seats that are thick. Not no joke.
Do you have an adult booster?
Well, because
when I was a kid, we would prank call, but everyone had their own. I mean, I grew up with some of the funniest kids ever. And I think it's just because Portland is just so weird. But like, I remember my friend Carl, aka Biggie, aka Big Bear, is a giant kid. You used to call. There was this there's Babyland diaper service, which would deliver cloth diapers and then pick up the dirties, so you wouldn't be wasteful. And Carl would call Babyland and ask if they had a diaper with a 40-inch waist. And it's like for a 13-year-old, that's a really funny prank. Uh-huh. So that just made me think of Babyland and a booster seat for
waist
an adult.
Is like
do you have
20.
An adult booster seat? I'm like, sir, why? Please don't call here again.
Oh man. But if you ever get a handicapped room in a hotel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like where everything's, you know, very
yes,
spacious,
handles.
But the seats are very
yes. Yeah, that's
heightened.
True. They are heightened. Yeah.
I've been fascinated by the senior citizen walk-in tubs when I see those
right,
ads on
with
TV.
The door?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know how often someone accidentally opens the door when it's full.
Oh, that's got to happen all the, where someone's just not thinking. Uh-huh.
No way it's built well enough to prevent it from
it
opening.
It doesn't have a suction or a sensor. That's
right.
Just like, no, it's full of water. I'm not going to open right now. You know?
Good times.
Are we good? We're done?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, crashed it.
Phone number if you want to call in and get some dipshit advice from me and or my guest, 323-763-0228. Our Patreon, Patty, is at Advice From A Dipshit. Throw us some bucks to keep it moving. We are on Stitcher now, which is awesome.
Pandora.
You still
want
to get on Spotify. We're on Pandora. Check us out there. We're at Advice From A Dipshit on Facebook, at Dipshit Advice on Twitter. Theme song's Ben Wise. Subscribe and write a fun review. Justin, thank you for coming on the
thank
show.
Thank you. You guys, this is a 5-star podcast.
Thank
still,
you.
By the way, on iTunes.
Thank you, buddy.
Which is amazing.
It is 5-star podcast.
It's the Ritz-Carlton of podcasts.
Justin has a residency at the Roosevelt, the Hollywood Roosevelt, if you live in Los Angeles or the greater Californian area, and has a fantastic show called Magic for Humans on Netflix. And you are you now shooting the...
We are going to start shooting more, hopefully in the new year here.
Awesome.
And then I'm always on tour too, justinwillman.com. You can see my dates.
Check him out.
Yeah.
He's a consummate gentleman and an amazing talent in the magic world. And thanks for coming
comedy.
On the
thanks
show.
Thanks for having
and for
me,
comedy.
Guys.
Yes, very funny guy.
And for shitting, apparently.
An amazing defecator.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Justin has definitely fooled me. I've seen him... In the times I've seen him perform,
oh no,
I have been.
Yeah, I've never seen him up close, but on the show, I'm always like, whoa. I'll rewind.
Isn't that great?
It's very,
so great. Congrats
it's very cool.
on the next
yeah.
season.
Thank you guys.
Yeah,
thank
congrats,
you.
Man.
Thanks,
thanks
a lot.
Again.
I appreciate
and,
it.
Congrats on your family stuff.
Yes.
Too. Very cool.
Gonna be a papa.
Yay! He's gonna be a dad.
All right.
Thanks again, man.
Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Fronger.